Blog Talk Radio.
I know I had to play that song, Superwoman, for all my superwomen that are on the line right now. Peace, Sister Empress, Sister Earth, and I know this 111 caller probably is Pastor Flowers.
Yes.
How y'all doing today, Superwoman?
We're blessed. We're blessed. I'm blessed. You all too.
I'm black.
that's just divine all of its own right. What's up, Sister Earth?
Dylan, what's going on?
Nothing much. Who's going to kick the libations off? Because y'all know we start off giving our ancestors reverence before we do anything.
Indeed. Oh, let me get this thing on the road. How's everyone's Sunday going thus far?
Well, going very well.
That is beautiful.
Going good. It is.
It has finally stopped raining here. So, y'all excuse the beating, the natural drumming in the background.
That's
Tyler. 7-year-old. Yes, that is Tyler getting his lunch on right now. All right. All the queens ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right. We ask that the ancestors guide us and protect us in this show, that we are moving towards a positive manner, that we accomplish our goals here today, that we are watched over and protected and led in the proper direction of growth and progression. We pour our libations to our queens that have come before us, all the mothers of medicine, of meditation, of intelligent minds, intelligent bodies. Mayat.
Mayat.
All the soldiers, and I know a lot of sister soldiers, so to speak. But Harriet Tubman.
Mayat. All the queens who are focused on health and medicine and resurrection of the womb as well as preservation of the womb.
Mayat. All right.
So for this, we ask our great thanks and our praise. We pour our libations in. We stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. We do not rest there.
Mayat.
All right, queen.
All right, let's see. What's the topic for today? What's up for today?
Well, I think this is part two.
Well, since it's part, I guess we can give a brief recap of part one, which was part one of proper mate selection. We discussed a lot of things that go into selecting or properly selecting a mate. And pretty much what our discussion came down to was, well, the woman needs to know herself and understand her own sexuality, and understanding herself, she would then be able to properly select a mate and understand how that has an effect on her children, whether she currently has them or children she will bring into this world. So did anybody else have anything to add on to that as to what the last show was in reference to? Before we delve into this hot topic,
I think we also talked about our responsibility to our children by choosing a proper mate. It's important that we do so for our children, that we choose someone who's on the same path and in the same accord as we are. But I don't know if we went into detail on that, but I would like to this week definitely do that.
Okay, Sister Earth, pass the flowers. Y'all have anything to add on to that, or shall we just get into it?
Yeah.
Okay. Pass the flowers. Last time we did the show 2 weeks ago, you mentioned understanding your own sexuality and knowing yourself as a woman. Can you get into that?
Well, I think it really it starts off kind of sort of with our mothers. Our mothers, when you have a female or a male child, you pretty much are starting to teach about sexuality then. As this child, the baby, it cried. And this cry, if the mother's in tune, she knows that it's a cry of hunger, it's a cry of pain, or it's a cry of, you know, she begins to communicate and understand the cry. But all of these things are still a part of sexuality. Sexuality, spirituality, all of that's the same thing. And as you begin to nurture this child, the child begins to form sexuality. I mean, in every stage as you bring this child up. And by the way you respond and interact with this child, I guess by the time the child gets 12, 13, 14 years old, when their eyes are pretty much a little bit more open, they begin to look at life and remember the lessons that of nurturing from that mother. And they're almost, if the mother was not informed or on how to rear the child, the very thing in that child attracts what it lacks, and so it pulls the almost the subconscious. Even though you're consciously looking for one thing, it's almost something really subconsciously that's saying it needs it, which is more the real, and it will attract that. So this thing of child rearing is beyond what anybody ever, I believe, well, I don't think ever, but we used to know that that was very important. And we used to do things so that this child would understand, as I say, sexuality, spirituality being the same thing. And they would, and they're able to, you know, use the cosmos and everything about this child to help them to understand how to attract the right type of mate that will bring out the best in that person. I mean, it has to be like a, almost like the Kundalini. It's like a cycle. It's a circle. It keeps returning. You don't have these breaks in the chains where you're deficient. And so she has to truly understand who and what she is. And she's very, 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 there's no other power beyond the woman. All power comes from her, because if she ceases, everything else ceases. That's very powerful.
Indeed. Anybody have anything else to add to that?
Hello?
Yes? Can you hear me?
Barely. My phone was tripping. No, I've been having some difficulty.
I was saying, did you have anything else to add to that?
I think she reached on something very important about the spirituality and being our sexuality, and also that we have along the way lost some things in being a part of this system that we're a part of now, and the invasion that we've had on us on several occasions, you know, culturally just altering our existence, and we begin to assimilate. So it's changed our principles and our things that we hold important, I think. Spirituality, when it comes to rearing a child, starts before the child's even here. I think it starts before the child is even conceived.
Correct.
You know, we have to have the proper energy in our lives in order to create a child that has that proper energy. And so our wombs are healthy, so we are healthy, so our mates are healthy, and we bring a child into a healthy situation. Because if at all our spirits are chaotic, then we bring our child into a chaotic situation, because children are absorbent when they're being born, when they're being conceived, when they're in the womb. During that whole process, children are absorbent of everything. So they just aren't getting the positive, they're getting the negative as well. So we have to be very careful that our spirits are aren't in a proper position, not only with, you know, having our children or carrying our children, but before we even create our children.
I agree with that. That all comes to really what I was saying, the mother. You know, when you're talking about ourselves as women today, it's our mothers who actually had a greater role. And she was supposed to know who she was way before she even began the selection of a mate, because she can, if she's being trained or nurtured right, she can almost sniff out the weak and the strong. She's supposed to be seeking the best for herself, the best mate for herself that will help her in bringing about new life. And so she has to understand so much more. And it's kind of the other way around. We're kind of letting men select us, but that's a result of patriarchy.
Mm.
And we don't understand that we're really the ones that's supposed to be selecting our mates, not the other way around. And as we do these things, I mean, after a certain age, you understand that that's a part of what could possibly happen in your life. And so you're supposed to, at all times, you know, be training. You know, I've trained my children from day one to rear family. Everything about the way I ran my corporation, I didn't always, when I was younger, I did not always totally understand the idea that I was supposed to have been prepared prior to, but I knew something to that effect. I knew a great deal more, but I did not understand that so many other people weren't raising their children like that.
Mm.
So that was the real problem. And you know, you could be prepared, and you know, because you find so many young women who are they have a young man and he's like an overgrown child, and it's like you can't deal with that.
Oh yeah,
you can't deal with
an overgrown child,
because that's what they are acting. I mean, I call things what it is. That's what it is.
You're right. But that's a great point about how you can raise your children the right way. But then if you look around and the children in your community are not being raised in the same way, it affects your child.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know,
true.
You never really think about it. One of the things that was really more of a recent thing, but some you guys may disagree with me, but even with my grandmother and my grandmother's grandmother, it wasn't like how it is nowadays. Like if you went to go – you wanted to marry someone, is you just told your family, hey, he wants to marry me, or he comes to your family and says his intentions. It was before. It was like an interview process. Your grandmother, your mother, your father had to know
the
him.
Whole family.
They had to know who his family was like, because they always said, it's not just him. You got to look at where he comes from, who his people are. My dad always says you have to, not just in, you know, relationships with men, but even with your friends, you have to get around people who have the same type of values you do.
Yeah,
because
right.
If not, it can go either way. Either they're going to drag you down or you're going to lift them up.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that arranged marriages are the best way to go, but definitely I think it's very important that we as women, in the quest of knowing ourselves, you have to know who you are sleeping with or going to share the rest of your life with. And knowing them, you have to know where they come from. What are their, what's their gene pool like? What
right,
type of values
exactly.
did his parents,
yeah.
what type of values did his parents give him?
Right. And you were right, you know, way back when, well, back in my day, the whole neighborhood, I mean, we knew. If it was someone new in the neighborhood, everybody knew. And they'll ask you, boy, where you come from?
Uh-huh.
What you doing over here? What's your mama name?
What's your
and,
mama
and that,
is?
That's
right. Who your folks?
Yeah, everybody knew. And you know, basically, when I raised my kids, things had changed drastically. So what I did to counter, to keep what I had, I started since I didn't. I ran a candy store back in the day. And so the kids came to my house, and I could get more out of a person in 5 minutes than people take 5 years to get, you know. and so I found out where they came from, who their mamas was, and I took walks, and so I would go visit them. Yeah, I know your little boy, he come up here. Well, this is where I live. See, you have to, in the end, everybody in that neighborhood knew me. All the kids in the neighborhood knew me. All the kids knew I knew their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever I seen them, I'd catch them on the spot. If they were doing wrong, I'm going to tell your mama. Matter of fact, I'm going to get you. If it was something really bad, I got them right there. Because we bought into this crap about don't spank your kid. That's abuse. We have some real crazy ideals in the black community about discipline. And discipline is teaching. Now, if I were to spank your kid's butt versus the popo shooting your kid to death, what would you want, me or the popo?
Hmm.
My husband called me the warden. And so I was the person. I was the neighborhood mother. That's all I was. I was the neighborhood mother. I understood that if this child, maybe that parent didn't know, so I knew the parent. But I also know how to work with people and how not to work with people. But I would try to bring that child if I knew that parent was probably having problems. Because, see, you got to get to know people to help them while they were out in society, how to conduct themselves. So, in the end, all the kids in the neighborhood hung out my house. And I started buying vans and things like that because when I went, they went too. We don't want to do that anymore. We don't understand the importance of that. And the way that this construct is made right now, most parents, most mothers are working. And so their kids, you know, you can send them to daycare or this, that, or the other. But you don't know really anything that's not really going to teach us culture. Daycares and different, some daycare, very, very few of them do, because they're working, they're just trying to keep your kids alive between the time you go to work and come back, that's all, and not go to jail. That's all they're trying to do.
I got a question for us. How do you know yourself as a woman? What does that mean to know yourself as a woman?
Hmm.
I think that's a broad spectrum.
Okay, well, let's talk about that spectrum because...
Yeah, because that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't necessarily have the answer to that, but I have an observation. It's kind of in the way that I see it in modern society is that a lot of what women are taught has to do with a man. Like, we're not taught, okay, you could even start with the toys that you buy little girls compared to the toys you buy little boys. Mm-hmm. Toys for little girls immediately teach you that you need a man in your life. If it's going to be the knight in shining armor who's going to save you, or it's going to be the prince, or you're going to be a mommy, so you need a man to be there. We immediately teach our girls from the time they're little that they definitely need
how to cook, how to grocery shop, how to babysit, how to change diapers.
Pretty much. And then with the guy, with the little boys' toys, they could be superheroes flying over. Exactly. They're superheroes. They're astronauts. They're G.I. Joe. They're whoever. And so I think to kind of start this change within women, we have to start teaching women that you need time to explore who you are, like what you like, what you don't like, what your taste in food, music, everything is before you even start to think about trying to be up in some boy's face. But we're usually not taught that because, I mean, as soon as most little girls hit middle school, what do? They start liking boys. And what do? You start dressing a certain way because you think the little boys are going to pay attention to you, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying all girls are like that, but a lot of them are, and you can definitely see it with the younger generation now. I mean, they get all these bad stereotypes that we can't just blame on white people no more. Our own people are pushing negative stereotypes on our young girls at this point, and they think that's how they're supposed to be. That's how they think they're supposed to dress or how they're supposed to act. And so, I don't know, I think it's time to teach our children. The girls especially, because the boys are taught to be an individual for years, you know, from the time they come out. So we have to teach our little girls, like, you need to figure out what you like, what you don't like, before you even think about getting into a relationship or dating or marrying somebody. You need to figure out who you are singularly before you get someone else.
Not only that, but exploring that, you don't need to necessarily explore that sexually. I think we need to make girls feel comfortable again about being, you know, virgins, about not stepping out sexually until you are not only physically but mentally prepared and spiritually prepared to embark on that type of relationship. And somewhere along the line, we lost that.
Well, I was saying all of that earlier about spirituality and sexuality from just the way the mother raises the child, you know, that they will get this if we can understand that these are really two of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
They're two, you say spirituality, you say, and see, that's where we are in this world. We have a lot of linguistic words that actually mean the same thing. But mm-hmm. if you're being taught the way I think I mentioned this the last time we were talking, I had dolls, I had Erector sets, I had G.I. Joes, I had everything that my brother had, and if he wanted dolls, she would have got him, my dad and them, they would have got him that too. They got him G.I. Joe dolls if that's what he wanted. But I came up being able to explore everything. I was superhero and everything else. You know, and the boys hated it because I was better than they were. but that's it. You know, that's why it is so very important to understand how a child really learns versus how they're trying to tell you how a child learns. You know, a child doesn't actually need you to learn as much as the child just needs you there to help softly guide.
Yeah, guide them in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, well, actually not so much guiding them. They're going to go to what they want to know. If you watch a child, all you have to be there is when they go to touch the bumblebee, you might have to say, now this bumblebee, it has a stinger. Or I did things like I took the fly swatter and I hit the bumblebee. And we took little razors and dissected the bumblebee, and because that's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know, well, what is this? and showing them the stingers. I mean, you're supposed to teach science from day one. Everything's science. And you're supposed to approach life like that. But the child actually will show you what it wants to know. But we're in such a busy world that we're trying to give the child what we want them, what we want the child to know, without actually finding out what does this child really want to do. And then when you see that, okay, maybe this child doesn't really want to do much of nothing. So then you got to come up with creativity, because we are creative. But we also got to start pushing out things that zap our creativity, things that are taking away our time. Our time is the most important thing that we have. And if you understand that, you begin to understand that, okay, I'm not going to let you have, I'm only giving you so much of my time. And you learn how to make priorities. You learn what's good. I learned how to do everything as a girl. I mean, I really, when I don't want to give you no false image that my mother was from the country, but it was just something that they knew, I guess, in the way that they, and I know this is true because all these old people back then used to do it. They didn't just raise you to cook and clean. I mean, my brothers had to cook and clean. They had to do the same thing I had to do. And I think that's the way we need to do it. And you do become more of an individual, so much that I didn't have too many friends. Because, I mean, that's true. Because if at that time, if you're around other people and they're doing stupid stuff and you know this is stupid, I'm not going to go and jump that cliff. You know, you go on and do it. So I just stood back and watched while they decide to go do it. I mean, you have to have this in the child rearing. This I mean, that's where most of the trial and error of life really should be dealt with. Not when you get 18, 20, and 30, and 40 years old. I mean, you're so far behind that you'll never catch up. But we alone as women have to know the vital point of how important we are. Because, see, it's nothing the matter with having babies. It's nothing the matter with cooking and cleaning. The issue is this little boy up here that I got to do all, he going to help. That's okay. The problem that happened with a generation. We started allowing these boys to go out and wreck havoc. But in the past, that did not exist. They were taught responsibility. Mm-hmm. Okay, and see, it's a different parent.
All right, let's kind of rear back into the knowing yourself as a woman part. Because we start talking about that, but then we kind of sort of veer off into other topics. Not saying they don't have anything to do with that, but let's kind of sort of define that piece first so we can move on to the other parts right quick. Like, we just said exploring ourselves and knowing our likes and dislikes. And I think one good thing is knowing ourselves as a woman would be honoring our sacred time. A lot of women are ashamed of that week during the month or however many days during the month that they're on their cycle. They don't understand how sacred that is and what that means.
That is a very important thing. That is true, but we've lived in a society that has made everything unsacred. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, and it's made us feel ashamed. And that's the other thing that you guys were talking about earlier. It's made us feel ashamed, especially black women, though. It's made us feel ashamed about the way that we look, the way our bodies are shaped, our senses, everything. And so it's like, what, I mean, definitely we have to start with the baby so the next generation doesn't do that. But I guess the question is, what should we do right now to help ourselves and each other out? You know, it's a lot of issues between us women. Like, I know I'm guilty of it. For a long time, most of my friends were male, and I looked at other females kind of, kind of questioningly, like, I don't trust her.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm
just
guilty.
Because she was a woman. So it's like now that I'm learning and growing, and I realize that how important women are and how important I am as a woman. It's like, how can I either build that self-esteem and my level of comfort with being a woman and myself and not feeling ashamed about who I am or anything that has to do with being a woman? And how can I spread that same love to other sisters who may be in the same situation that I am? Maybe they don't love themselves or maybe they hate other sisters.
Because we do a lot of disliking and hating other sisters, and most of the time, you know what it has to do with? It has to do with not, it has, well, twofold. It has to do with a lot of times one woman may not like another strong woman.
True indeed.
Yeah.
But
maybe they another one is a woman might not like herself. You know, it's a lot of times that you hate the things about other people because you hate those things in yourself. You know?
Or because it's something you lack in yourself that the other woman has that you admire. And instead
That's
of
true.
Talking about that, you or saying, you know, I kind of sort of want to improve this in myself, it's just a negative look or a negative that person maybe act negatively to the other woman. And we do a lot of that bashing each other when we need to be building with each other and building our sisterhood bonds more.
I think that's real true.
I think we do that. We're very guilty of that.
Yeah. But I really think that it all comes down to patriarchy. It's the competition. It's like I still have to go back because, see, it's really not away from. It still goes back to the way that mother raises that child. And as that mother begins to make that child understand that they are valuable and you help that child form their gifts. And you can, I did not grow up. I really have a hard time with understanding people who are jealous. I really do. Because what it is you're looking at something that you might think you want in yourself, or you see this person able to attract attention to themselves, and maybe you feel that I want that kind of attention. And so we don't know how to really praise one another, you know, another, and saying, well, you know, this is something that you do real good, and maybe just simply observing that person. But I've learned in life that if there's anything that you want inside of you, that you will go after that. And then when you look at other people, I've come in life to just say, okay, this person is very eloquent they wanted to be a doctor. Now I have to go back in myself and say, well, now did I really want to do that? Because not everybody wants to do that. And I think that each person has to understand individually that we're all a part of a body, and each part of that body has different things that are very unique and are very needful. And there's not one thing that's not needful, you know, because if you go out to a mall and you have to go to the bathroom, and if they didn't clean them bathrooms like some of them don't, you'll be trying to hold that, or you might have an accident before you get home. See, everything is needful, and everyone must understand this. But we've had this form going on to saying that everybody has to be alike, and that's been the problem. It does not have room for individuality. You know, so everybody, if one person is a herbalist. Everybody want to be an herbalist. But, you know, I really might not be good. You know, I might not can grow anything. I might not can, you know, whatever it is. We have to learn that each person is an individual. You might have a little girl that wants to fly a plane.
and she's going to lead you. I mean, the problem is parent mothers are too preoccupied with building other people's empires instead of building her own. And because of that, she cannot give all this energy that she's giving someone else for a dollar into the most valuable thing that she's made. And that's her child. You know, we have to learn that, hey, she could play baseball. Well, I can't play baseball, but I might could crochet. You know, and crochet, I could, not only can I crochet and make clothing, I could crochet hair too. See, each person must learn what they're able to do, and they must learn to be satisfied. And that's another thing that's a problem. Nobody's content with who they are. And if you don't get content, you can't master something.
True.
Because you won't stick with it. So we got people, it's just like, you know, when I was younger at times, I had my hair this way and I had my hair that way. You know, because when you start trying to get into what other people are wanting you to be, you lose yourself. Then I just got tired and started, hey, I'm going to fix my hair the way I like it. And it might be odd, but eventually somebody, well, how you do your hair like that? You know,
you just touched on something. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but that's what I'm trying to say. Each person is so unique in and of and by themselves that there doesn't have to be a room. I mean, competition was never that we compete with this person. It was something that we were supposed to have done inwardly. If there was something inside of you, you know, if you're a little lazy and you feel, okay, and you can admit this, okay, I'm lazy. Well, then let's find out why I'm lazy. Well, maybe, you know, there's something lacking in me biochemically that I need to work on. I mean, this woman is so unique that we just need to start, I mentioned rites of passage programs where we are getting together to learn about, because there are so many changes that goes on in a girl's body before she even gets to the menace that we don't even understand that. So you're not going to understand the menace because you don't understand the process before. We're always kind of coming in the middle of something wanting to understand, and you're just not going to get it there. You have to build a strong foundation. You have to know the very seed of it. And that even, you know, it's just like when I say the seed and mate selection, I mean, you have to understand what kind of seed. A woman can tell if she's equipped from the very seed that he plants in her earth, how it's going to develop. If she really knows herself and if she's really done the ICS and this investigation on him and his family. Because it's going.
You just reminded me of something that I wanted to bring up, and I think is very pertinent to this conversation. How important is it? Well, I can't even say how important is it. We as women need to be comfortable with ourselves. Not be ashamed of being ourselves and just walking into ourselves. And what I mean by that is some women don't like their hair, or they focus on something on their body they don't like, or they focus on a piece of their personality they don't like instead of just
being happy.
Being them and being happy and being satisfied with who they are and what they are.
And I wonder who made that stuff happen. Because the show wasn't women. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
No,
it's
wasn't.
So funny that.
See, when you talk about really trying to get to know yourself, that's really what it is. It's being happy with just who you are.
Just
and
being
you
happy with being you.
That's it. That is.
You,
that's
it. Are you about to say something? Yeah, I was going to say it's funny that we're having this conversation because on Comedic Science, one of the brothers posted a video from another brother, and he's talking about now, I think I already spoke with you about it, but basically the other brother is saying, comes out, he's like, I'm a conscious brother, but I love white women.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, but you got to listen to it, though.
And what he, now believe me, my first reaction was, what? You know, what the
you
hell?
You and I were watching it together. We was like, what the hell?
Once he got into it, what he was saying is that basically what we're saying here, that sisters don't know ourselves. And so what we do is start emulating what we think, what we start emulating white women and white women's behavior. And so the crazy thing was, it was right, but the thing that bothered me, of course, was the fact that they didn't turn that mirror around. Like, they put it just on us. But I wanted to say, like, I'm pretty sure the majority of black women wouldn't act like that if brothers wouldn't act like that's what they want.
Right.
That's it. That's hey, see, it's a lot of game and magic going on about right now. It's a lot of game and magic. You know.
I mean, black women got this propaganda on a TV. Every time you turn on a TV or listen to a radio show or what have you. Hey, let's go deeper than that, though. Let's go deeper. I finally responded because no one else responded on Comedic Science, and what I said was, I was like, okay, I'm alone in this, but I'm going to say this. I do agree with the brother. The brother was definitely right. But the thing that I don't agree with is turning that mirror around on you guys. Yeah, we can blame white folks and society on it. Every time we turn on the TV, we see white women being the fairest and the most lovely and stuff like that. But wait a second, we wouldn't care if our
brothers, that black man said you beautiful just like you are.
If the brothers didn't go for that, I mean, let's keep it honest. When you first started liking boys in high school or wherever you were, most of the brothers that you really liked either liked white girls or sisters mm-hmm. who were as close to white as possible.
Like the white. And whether you understand it or not, it ain't changed. Them conscious brothers that going around talking about they black and conscious, they still doing the very same. Because if you really want to understand, well, where did these white sisters come from? Where did these white people come from? People don't like to deal with stuff like that because, I don't know, usually because they're hiding something. Because, I mean, I didn't go make the Stafford wife. I didn't make that. I wasn't trying to make that. See, that's what's really going on. They're trying to make the ideal woman. And we're buying into this stuff, trying to be the ideal woman. But they were never supposed to make us. We were already made. And so, you know, the thing here is just we've got to learn to ever stop this program. We got to step out and say, okay, you know, if that's what you're going to like, that's fine. And we got to understand that we're valuable. And you don't have to have a man to be valuable, to be complete.
Oh, you just brought something up I wanted to touch. Why are some women scared to be by themselves and they have some type of thought in their head that they're not a whole woman unless they have a man?
Well, that, again, goes right back to the program. All of those are key things. When you turn that magic mirror on, it shows you. See, all of those are, you got to, you have to, if you really were left alone and nature would let you, you know, you would just grow up in the way that we should grow up, with nobody programming your mind, nobody trying to, you know, do some subliminal message to you, you would be happy by yourself. But you got to constantly do or say or program things out there to make you feel you're missing out on something, that something isn't holding you. But we are whole, you know. And the thing here is, if you're not whole, you're never going to find the right selected mate anyway.
Exactly. You have to be a complete person in yourself before you find the mate who is for you. You're
right,
always going to attract subservient, not subservient, brothers who are below par or whatever, because you at that point are not too par and like things attract each other.
So, well, you know something? The real deal that went down is when I said that women were supposed to choose, and they are. Somehow, something happened, and they turned that game around. And then they put the thing, see, a woman can sense if she really has everything turned on. She's going to sense if he's sick. She's going to sense everything about him. And because of that, that's all of these program, all of this fracturing of the mind is pretty much mind control. And so you have to be fractured. And that means you're a half of something, or you're a fourth or a third, but you're definitely not a whole of something. And so that you have to bring about these other things inside of yourself in order to make yourself whole. But then you live with these things inside of yourself and say, well, this is not making me happy. And then, you know, then you're blamed. You can't be pleased. I never hear so many men, you just can't please them. You know, you can please it, but you don't never want to give a whole. You only want her to be pleased with a little bit. And she knows instinctually that she's supposed to have the best. And so, no, you're not supposed to be pleased with, you know, half par something, you know. But then if she doesn't know she's quality already, she's going to be trying to look for something outside of herself. But nothing she can find will ever complete her because it's already there. She just don't know it. You know.
I have another. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying we are living in a world that they are trying to make you believe. They're trying to shape and form your head. When my mom, when babies used to be born, they used to form their head. And
yeah, mold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mold it.
I still have in a family.
Yeah. Well, it has more to do with what, well, that's pretty much what's going on. And if you pull back some of the layers, they're trying to show you how or what you need. And it really has to do with what they need. It's not what you need. And that's the unhappiness of the woman because she's doing more of what he needs. He's not doing what she needs. He can care less what you need.
Wow. Wait a minute,
yep,
right there.
True.
Why is it that some women want to satisfy man instead of satisfying themselves first? What happened
because
to
they
me?
That's
what
we're taught. That's
they think
that
satisfying that man is satisfying them. If they can have a man, they're satisfied. Mm-hmm. It don't matter what kind of man. He could be the worst kind of man, especially when you have women running around making a statement. And I've heard older women say this, a piece of man is better than no man. How many times have you heard that nonsense? And yet it's like you will accept a piece of him, but he wants the whole of you. So
correct.
You think that because you have him, you're happy, you're satisfied. It don't matter what you're going through or the situation that you're in, just having that piece of him, having that male principle in your life is enough to make you happy.
Well, in patriarchy, that whether you want to accept that or not, but that's really what it is.
Uh-huh.
See, you're only going to get a piece of him in patriarchy.
We got Sister Goddess on the line. Go ahead, Pastor Flowers. I just wanted to let everybody know that Goddess is on the line.
Yeah.
She's
got
I'm just listening.
Okay.
I'm just
In patriarchy, it's more or less that you're not going to really have all of him. And he doesn't want to be controlled, or he doesn't want to be he wants to spread his joy. That's what my mother said. He wants to spread his joy. And and you have to look and say, well, if this is somebody that you want to be with, you have to understand. And women in the past understood that. They did all kinds of things to just understand that they're not going to be able to have all of him. He wasn't making himself available to that. And those that did make themselves available, I mean, that's okay. But for the vast majority of women back in the day, and really today, they don't want to be possessed, but they want to possess you. And they go through all different kinds of things, I guess, to make you believe that, and you stay. But maybe something inside of us also don't want to have 50,000 men in our lives, you know. Maybe we say, okay, I'll deal with whatever he can give, because I'm not going to really ever have all of him. He's never going to allow that.
Mm. That's another topic we would need to speak on, probably on a different show, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Polygamy.
But going back to what Pastor Flowers said, though, is I know you're kind of discussing polygamy as far as women with a lot of husbands, but as far as the way they were taught polygamy, that still won't really solve the problem. The only difference is now you have more women around you sharing the affections of the same man. I don't know.
Right.
I can't.
We all know polygamy is just a person that has multiple mates. I didn't say whether
I just said that. I was like, I know you put that in a context. You're more or less speaking of both sexes, but saying as far as the way that we're taught polygamy, it's a man with multiple wives.
Right.
And I don't, I just don't think, me personally, you know, I know in Muslim countries, they still practice that. I just don't see, especially modern black, American black females, I'll say, I just don't see that going down too well.
But see, whether it goes down or not, my thing is, it goes back to the root. You can't eat the root. You can't eat the fruit off the tree if the roots are terrible. I mean, if the roots aren't properly grown, they aren't properly, you know, planted, you can't go any further than that. And it goes back to the initial problem. Even if there's a polygamous relationship, even if there's a monogamous relationship, if those people have issues, I mean, whatever those issues may be, whether it be a spiritual problem, whether it be some things that they didn't learn or didn't get in themselves, then, and they don't know who they are, they bring into their relationship problems that they had previously. I mean, they bring into their relationship, they bring into their children, they bring into their community issues that they already had and have not addressed. Mm-hmm. So you can't build with other people and grow with other people if you are stagnant in your own self, in your own being. And it doesn't help to just cover it up with consciousness and say that you're living a certain way when you still haven't dealt with the root of the problem.
Correct.
You still aren't living your life the way that you should be living your life. And you're just putting on this code of consciousness, and you're still broken inside.
Now
you're putting on this level of spirituality, and you still haven't dealt with your own spiritual demons. It's just putting putting icing on a brick. You still had cake.
You're talking like a true woman. But that's the very opposite the way. You know, I see most women, they really do know what they want. They do.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the real problem. Most women really, really do know what they want. The problem is you live in a society that's saying that you can't have what you really want.
And you're supposed to feel bad for wanting what you really want.
That's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about.
Feel bad about it.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's all that's really going on. You do know what you want. I have a 7-year-old, I think she's 8 now. She knows what she wants. That's not the issue. And there was something that occurred a couple of days ago between her father and her. And I got on him and I told him, and he didn't go and fix it. So I told her later on, I said, well, when your mom comes, you go tell your mom. And so I got back with my daughter and I spoke with her, and she said, you know, she had spoke with him, but it's this thing about how boys or even men play. Even my her grandfather, men tease women. I see a lot of teasing between boys and girls, mainly the boys teasing the girls or something. But it's like I was trying to tell him, you're doing these things. You're manipulating her mind right now, and I'm trying to tell you the problem, and you're doing something right now that you don't even understand within yourself that is really the problem. That's the cause of the problem, because she's going to deal with interacting with you as her father. She's going to look for her mate based on how you treat her. And what she's going to come up and find is this sheep that's really a wolf, because you keep playing these games with her. And she's not going to know really until after the fact that this was not the way things should have been, because you haven't shown her by being a man how she's supposed to engage in life with another a male, because the only male she knows is you. It's just so many things that they're trying to do to say that, okay, you shouldn't be this way. You're not conscious black. You got to have your hair like this. You need to do this. You need to do that. Somebody's always telling the woman, the black woman, what she should be. And this video on why he likes, these white women don't know they fails either. Believe me. They don't. They just have learned to be more, they don't talk out as much, and they are talking out now, but they're just this might have to do more with the melon than anything. Why she's the way she is, and the idea of why they were made the way they were made. You know, that is really, really what it's about. It's, you know, if you talk about the melon in the black woman and no melon in the white woman, she's in some sense at times can be more docile. Now, they are changing too. They are changing to the point that they're trying to fight back too. So they have their own, but they don't have some of the same problems that we do. But the more they interact with the black man, they're becoming just as fractured as we are, because they're fighting. They cat fight. They're having a lot of cat fights.
Mm-hmm. I want to touch on. No, y'all go ahead. No, I was going to say, going back to the white woman, is it's, you know, the funny thing is when self-hating brothers point the difference between us and them, and say in the context of them being, quote, better, only thing I see is, yeah, they're a little different. They're more docile when it comes to men than we are. But the difference to me is the fact that in society they've had the luxury of having a higher status. So some of the things that they do that really aren't cool, they kind of get a pass only because, you know, they're the image of beauty at the point, and they're apparently the way they act or the way the men want them to act, that's supposed to be the ideal. So even if they do crazy stuff, they, you know, lately they've been killing their kids and things like that, they've been given more of a pass for things than we have. We don't enjoy that same type of luxury they do.
Well, I agree with that, but I think, you know, black women are just as docile as some white women. There are some black women that are just as, you know, passive and take that crazy nonsense. I mean, look at how many sisters we have that have you know, that that complex of putting a man before themselves, putting a man before their children, you know, staying in relationships that they are abused in physically and emotionally and spiritually, you know. Sisters take a lot of crap, too. I think the thing is, it's a poem that I read that the difference between a black woman and a white woman is we haven't been afforded the opportunity to have a nervous breakdown. Like, we're
just like
supposed,
I said,
who said that?
We enjoy a
certain kind
of
lecture.
I didn't have too many breakdowns.
But in the concept of a cover, like the complete covering of it all, we're never supposed to break down. We're supposed to bear the brunt of it all and still hold on strong, because that's the role we've been put into. Like, you know, you're supposed to be strong, and you're the mother, and you're the you know, the caregiver and the nurturer and everything.
You're supposed
and
black
to be women
strong,
are just
but
strong.
Not too strong.
Right,
I mean,
you know,
what?
We're strong, but we're not supposed to be confrontational. You know, like, oh, our difference between our strength and the strength of a white woman, like, oh, she's so strong, she went through so much, whereas we're not considered strong, we're considered argumentative. You
right.
know, so the
we're
difference lays
combative.
In. Right. You know, the difference lays in
and
our mental health.
I would
been, right, we haven't been afforded to be the way that we are supposed to be. Like, sometimes your body needs to go through that scream. Like, sometimes you just need to scream. But when we scream, it's like, oh, she's angry. She's angry, black woman. It's like, so what am I angry? I have a right to be angry. But we do the same thing that I say that we as Africans completely do. We are so quick to apologize. So what if I'm mad? So what if I'm angry? I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be mad. Because look
exactly.
at the crap I've been having to put up with. Look at the crap
exactly.
I'm having to deal with. And on top of all that, I have this man that has the audacity to come and tell me that he likes white women over me. Hell with you. I mean, when we get comfortable enough to get in a place where we can just say, you know what, the hell with you.
Amen.
I don't care if you want that white woman.
Amen.
That means there's one less man that's full of shit that I don't have to deal with.
Ooh, I love it. I love it.
We have to get to that place when we just so, you know what, I'm tired of having to make us excuses and accommodate the whole world around us for being who we are. Stop apologizing. When we stop apologizing, our healing can begin. And we can
Amen.
Really move forward.
That's what that is exactly what I know to be true. Because you shouldn't put up with any shit. No shit.
No.
Anybody's shit. You know, and you should be able to say, this is shit. You know, they have tweaked us from the way we say words to everything. You know, when you finally come into yourself and say shit.
Don't it feel good?
But he can say shit. Hell yeah.
Don't it feel
it
good?
Do.
I mean, even in men telling us that, oh, it's not ladylike to curse.
Amen.
So it's not, you know, it's not ladylike
to
be a certain way.
Who are you to determine what a damn lady is?
It's like, when did we
That's
start turning to men
understand.
To find what a lady
how
is
a
or what a queen cool. is?
How does a man get to tell a woman anything she's supposed to be?
Amen. That's my whole point.
So no,
woman
should be taking corner from any man telling her who she's supposed to be, what she's supposed to look like, smell like, and taste like.
Amen.
That's exactly my point. When we get to the point, when we get to the place where I heard a sister say, I can't remember what movie it was, but she said, get mad, because that's when the healing begins. When you get to
that's
the point where you
exactly
are mad as hell, that's when you can let it all go and say, you know what?
And
to hell with this.
Amen. Because if you don't get there, if you don't get there, you will never go anywhere.
No, you won't.
Because they should not be determined. Nobody should determine what a woman is. How he going to determine what a woman is and he a half-neutered woman?
Hey, what about the fact that every fetus is a woman until that woman's body allows testosterone to produce itself to make that
That's
fetus become
exactly
a man?
Why they don't give you any x-rays until the fourth and the sixth month.
Exactly, because it's a girl from jump.
So the thing here is you got to start telling these little boys, you know, when they start using sissy and punk, And I be tell you are a damn sissy and you are a punk because you're a half woman. And see, we got to stop, like I said, linguistically, we got to start understanding what these words and what's going. Because when you got little boys 2 and 3 years old and they daddy says, stop being a punk. Well, he's already programming this child to believe that there's something the matter with a woman. And that kind of stuff in your houses, you should not tolerate. Because you're letting that child be programmed right then and there before he even get out of your house to go into the school system to get more of it. There's something the matter with a woman. And he's superior.
Right about
so it's a lot of stuff that's going on that right before your eyes that you blinking and you don't even know what's going on. Because there ain't nothing hidden. It's right in view. But because you don't know it, you don't see it. But when you get, everybody hold their ears, fucking mad. And you say, stop fucking my damn mind. I do that. I can do my own. Whatever you need, you could do it. I done said before, you got a dick and a womb. And don't ever forget that. Because he ain't got no womb. And he can't tell me how to be a woman. He don't know what it feels like. He's just astutely observed.
No man can say anything to a woman about what she should be, what she can be, because we make women and men.
Amen.
No man can make a child, regardless of what sex it is. No man can push a baby out. No man can carry a child. No man is given that baby that knowledge for 9 months.
That's true.
Which, again, reiterates my point. Why do we care? See, that's a real why do we even care?
Because we haven't, for one reason, we haven't been told this information about every child being a fetus, being a female, is pretty much new science that they're just divulging. And so we didn't know that before. And so when knowledge comes, you can take a stand. Okay. But really, if you believed in your instinct that they done told you not to believe in, you would have had it then. Because, see, there are things that I just knew. I just knew. I tell you, I can't even begin to write a book about my interactions with men and all the ones that just did not like me. And I didn't even understand why they did not like me. They didn't like me because I was me. And they couldn't penetrate me. There are some people you can't hypnotize. And that's what needs to be done with us. We need to, we have got to get to the point that we are not so gullible. And the shit that they spitting out here, you know, men,
you know,
they tickle your ears with all kinds of stuff. And we got to understand, hey, nobody lives and feels but me.
Hey, Earth,
I was going to say, you know what's funny about that? At least in my opinion and my situations of dealing with men, and if I were to act stupid, the funny thing is, yeah, guys can speak game to you, but I don't care. At the end of the day, women know that it's game. It's just that we choose to put up with it. It's like, no, you didn't pull the wool over my eyes. I just wanted to believe in you. And I think that's where we falter. I don't think that half of the stuff that these brothers say that I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so mesmerized. You are so right. Really in my head, I'm like, you are, you know, really in my head, I'm thinking you're an idiot, but I like you, so. And so the problem is that we know. I mean, just like you said earlier, Pastor Flowers, we are the one with the power. And if you look at history, when the earth and the world and civilization went crazy, it's when women lost their power in themselves and in their communities and to some extent in their households. But it's, I personally just don't think that.
But we didn't just lose our power. We didn't just lose it like that. They killed us.
I'm telling you, they did some of the most atrocious things in history to women to get that from us. But they never really got our power. Because, see, if they had got our power, there still wouldn't be no life. They never got it. We have learned to survive. And what you're talking about, you say, okay, yeah, I know you're stupid, but you're cute, you know, or whatever, you know. We really haven't lost our power. But you're thinking you lost it. So if you think you lost it, then you don't know you still have it. But you have it. You ain't never lost. No woman has ever lost. Even though they killed us and did all the stuff they did, she hasn't lost her power. It's still there. And everybody puts up with what they want to put up. And if you don't want to put up, you know how to walk.
Hey, y'all, we got 15 more minutes before the end of the show, and I wanted to touch on
rights of man. 2 hours?
Well,
fast, isn't it?
I wanted to touch on this rites of passage because I think that's very important. And a part of that rites of passage, I wanted to just bring up one thing. Why aren't we doing more of talking openly about sexuality and spirituality with our children, especially with the girls? Because the men tell the boys, they may not do the right rites of passage, but they get rites of passage. We're not telling our girls about, you know, sexuality and about sex. We're not telling them about that.
Because most of us feel it's taboo. I mean, we're afraid of it, you know. But it's all part of life. That's all a part of every nature. We could sit and talk about everybody else's sexuality. The bees, the birds, everything. But we can't talk about our own. And until you start and you don't let no man teach no boy about his sexuality. That ain't shit. I get him first. It ain't no bros before hoes thing. And that's real. You supposed to do that. You the mother. You know, you understand from the time you change his diaper. That's sexuality. First that air hit it and it go bing, and you know you got so many seconds before you get initiated with a spray. You are supposed to teach women and men about their sexuality, about their clitoris, about everything about it. You got to teach, but this is what I'm trying to say. You got to know about this. I mean, we need to be taking anatomy and physiology class. That needs to be the real important thing of teaching a child.
Right.
You see, we're teaching this child everything else but about itself. And then it gets into 10th or 11th grade if they want to take anatomy, if they get a choice. But that should be a requirement. So then you can't teach the child anything about the body. You'd be surprised about the names of the body parts when you dissect the Latin. They put everything in. It's about, you know, a woman, the temple. You know, the temple is her vagina, the vestibule, you know, the menorah. All of that's different. And you look in an anatomy, it's all in there. Mm-hmm. But we need these things. These are the subjects that needs to be taught. You know, all of the African spirituality was really all about that.
Mm-hmm. Why are we as women, some of us are afraid to be what, or I'll say this, we're considered whores when we show our sexuality and when we're sexual people. That's what women are.
Because just like they made bitch and witch and everything else sound bad. And so a couple of generations ago, just like they made bitch and witch and everything else sound bad. I mean,
can you elaborate on what bitch and witch is?
Well, the witch is the bitch. The witch is a wise woman.
The witch is a wise woman. So a bitch is a wise black woman, huh?
That's, it ain't a high. It is.
I just wanted you to clarify.
She is.
And so when you understand these things and the mind game that they played on you, you know, about being a whore, the whore was the fact that she chose who she wanted to be with. That's what they don't want to do. Because, I mean, he's trying to get the very best for himself. He's trying to ensure that he lives on. So if he can turn the paradigm around, he ensures that his seed lives.
Hmm.
But if we were to do it, he might. Hey, back in the day, some of these guys back in the day, I don't know what happened to y'all generation, they wouldn't even be chosen. They would get no play, no pussy, none. But see, now y'all taking everything.
Yep.
So what would a rites of passage program look like in order to get us back to our rightful place and in order for us to be able to teach our girls to become better women and to stop
We're doing it right now. It's when women decide to get off their damn high horses and talk for real, for real.
Yep.
And as they begin to talk for real, and ain't no secrets, then we all. It's really what she said, when you get sick and tired and you get just fucking mad.
Yep.
But until that happens, until you still keep playing on what's going, it'll still keep going on the way it is. Because they're treating you like little puppets, and they're the puppet master. And until you say, okay, I'm cutting these strings, you can't do this to me no more. And we need to just tell it all. Yeah, he touched me. He told me to do this. And I try to get young women, when they talk to me, I talk to them in the way that I do. Because I ain't got time to be proper. I'm a hoe. you got to learn. You got to embrace these words, because if you don't, they'll hurt you. You got a hoe?
I ain't no hoe. I'm a freak, though.
I'm a hoe, a freak, and everything else. Shit.
I'm a freak, though. I ain't go fresh.
I am Kemet. I create life. That's what I am.
You know what, though, sister? That's something very important, Pastor Flowers, that I talked to, I can't remember who I was having this conversation with, but when we talk about our sexuality and our everything as far as being black women, we need to stop being so afraid and so apologetic about who we are. And really, it's all a matter of getting to that point when you just fed up with it. You know, when you're tired of biting your tongue and you're tired of, you know, dancing around what really is what is. It's like, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm a black woman. I enjoy sex.
I'm the dog. I'm all of it.
Yeah,
I'm
so,
all of that,
and
you're
mama.
Just something I created.
And I'm queen, and I'm freak, and I'm all that other stuff you want.
Right, and
because really, in all true essence of it, at some point in some stage in your life, you are all those things. You
see, this is the thing that the man, he's not he really is ashamed. See, this is really what's going on. He really is ashamed of who he is. And so he's then turned the pair down to make you feel ashamed who you are. Mm. And he's sneaking in the closet and this, that, and the other. You know? He likes to have sex with lambs and dogs and swimming pool holes. It was this thing a while back. This guy was in a swimming pool. Mm. And it must have been a hole where, you know, how the water... you keep the water circuit, and he stuck his dick in there having sex. And it got stuck. I'm just saying to you, men are more ashamed of who they are. That's why they lie.
Hmm.
And see, because he's ashamed because he knows if this woman knew what he was, she is not going to choose him to mate with.
it's really not the other way around. The real game ain't, you just think that. They want you to think that, but you know deep inside, you know, they're ashamed of themselves. They're ashamed of them being black. I wouldn't have never made no damn white person to be an eternal, to just be fighting with. You know, it didn't make no sense. This is something else. And if you believe what they say, you stupid. They did not make these people. They made these people to get the land from the black woman. It's a lot of stuff that ain't being told. You know, they say it in all kinds of different ways. And, you know, I ain't got time to be going. I'm too old right now. I can't keep dissecting, but I do know what it is. It's to keep, if you own the land, it's really about ensuring his seed. Mm. If you will not choose him, he can't live, baby. So he has tried to find a way to ensure. It's a warfare. The warfare, it'd be really between white and black. Because, I mean, if they ain't got no melon, if we get close to the sun, they going to be burnt out or they going to, it don't matter. That's not the real issue. The real issue is the man is trying to ensure that his seed gets on. And through his seed, he is hoping to live on. But he knows that if the woman, and if we as women were together, and we would form our sister circles, and we would talk like we're doing right now, we'd be too formidable for them to deal with. Because most of them, listen, if you went to school, I liked little boys way before. I wasn't no 13 or 14. I knew who I liked in 2 and 3 years old. I liked the little boy across the street. I was 2. I knew. Mm. Well, why don't you know? Because you're supposed to know what you like and you don't like.
Yeah.
I knew, and when I got tired of him, it was over. I like somebody else, and they don't want that to happen. They don't want y'all to do this no more. So they got these things to make you feel like, oh, you a hoe. Oh, you this. Mm-hmm. Oh, you that.
And you can't change your mind.
You know, but you need to be knowing what you like, and your mother need to be allowing you to grow into that. You're supposed to know what you like. You're supposed to know, but I knew about my sexuality. I've been exploring it. My grandkids, they 1 and 2, they be exploring it. They touch it. They smile. I look at them and say, okay.
You really open up a Pandora's box times 2 now at the end of the show. That's probably, you know what, that's going to be our next topic.
Pandora's box.
Pandora's box.
Well, I know Pandora. So.
I mean,
yeah.
Because a lot of women will not openly talk about
masturbation.
I don't even like the word masturbation, but
well, I like touching me. I like making love to me first. And if you don't learn how to make love to you first, if you don't know how to make love to you first, then you gonna always have somebody trying to tell you, I don't like that. And that's the other problem with men. They don't like that either, because that makes them feel that they're not on top of things. See, that was why Lilith was named who she is. She knew what she liked.
Yep.
Now, you got to do it.
Can you explain who Lilith is right quick? Because we got a couple people on the line who may not have heard our conversation last week.
Well, in the Bible, Lilith was the first wife of Adam. And she wanted to be on top. She told Adam, hit it this way like this. And see, that insulted Adam. So that's what that was about.
You know,
so she became demonized. You know, and when you say lullaby, that was a song that people used to sing, these lullaby songs, because they said she was a succubus, and she would come and get the kids at night. Mm. So Lilith has a lot of mythology
it's just about a woman knowing what she wants. And see, the woman can be bad too, believe me. If you misuse, power can be misused. It don't matter whether you're black or white. But if you misuse your power, it still hurts you in the end.
That's right. I say that, you know, too, because I have a poem at the end of it. I say that, you know, with power. I get a quote from a movie, which it sounds real funny, but it actually has a lot of truth to it. You know, with power comes great responsibility, you know, and just make sure that you know how to properly use your power, because I don't want to become a victim of your circumstance. And that's
correct.
Really what happens. It's like you have these sisters who misuse the power that they have because they don't know how to properly use it or channel it in themselves. So you have you have a student using the master's tools and
correct.
Making everybody else suffer as a result.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's just like we're afraid to say that we don't know how to make love to ourselves. Men make love to themselves long before they get a woman. You know, but we're not able to say these things because they got these taboos to say, oh, she's a whore. She's fast. That's just a fast. But
I have to say some of this stuff for next time. Our time
2 hours went too fast.
I
thank all the sisters for coming on this week.
Yeah, definitely. I want to thank everybody for coming on, the few people we had in the chat room area that were just listening online, and all of our callers who called in. I want to thank y'all for coming out to Black Womaniverse, discussing proper mate selection part two, and we'll see you in 2 weeks on a Sunday. So just be looking out for us, and peace. Love y'all. Have a good rest of the weekend. And I'm going to head us out with I'm a Queen by Indy Irie, because I am a queen.
Amen.
I'm an empress. I don't know what y'all talking about.
I'm God.
I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even tame a toad. It really just depends on whatever feels good in my soul. And I was sent here to share with y'all. So get in where you fit in.